This is New Beginnings. Supported by AARP in the Twin Cities. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell, as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
You are listening to New Beginnings. Welcome, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me is our co-host of the show, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the creator and trainer of Ripple Connects. He talks about the effective networking, what we can do not only to bridge to our encore career, but what we can do right now to make sure that our careers are the best that they can be. You can also reach him at 763-438-1621 or simply go to RippleConnects.com. Joe McKenzie is the man. And we want to talk this week, Joe, about the State Fair. We know that it's in our rearview mirror, I should say. But you scoured that State Fair. You talked to a lot of different people. And I'm wondering, what did you take away from your visit at this year's 2018 Minnesota State Fair that you can share with us in terms of career and full employment?
Well, I've got to admit, it was a bit self-serving for a father of 16-year-old triplets to understand the future of work in Minnesota. Freddie, many of the jobs that our children, our grandchildren will have don't even exist now. And they're evolving. So going to the state fair and talking to industry experts, for me, was very eye-opening but very beneficial. Now I can be a good advisor to my children as they start eyeing up post-secondary options. And I wanted to share that with our New Beginnings listeners. I know there's parents out there that have children that are in that same stage of life, or a grandparent that's trying to be helpful to their grandchildren. Freddie, there's a whole new world evolving out there. Freddie, we've heard about artificial intelligence. We've heard about self-driving cars. We hear about it and it scares us because it's change, right, Freddie?
We
hear about it and it unnerves us that we see this coming on board, right?
That's right, because it's not something that we have experience with. And so the fear of the unknown starts to settle in just a little bit.
Exactly. We hear about the jobs that may go away. You know, self-driving vehicles or self-driving trucks could take away a large career profession in trucking. AI could, you know, take over a financial advisor's type of role. But Freddie, I wanted to talk about the things that, you know, the jobs that are coming on board. And I spent time at the state fair, not just eating corn dogs and so forth, but talking to industry experts. I went to the Eco Experience building at the State Fair, learning about many of the solar and renewable energy careers that are coming on board, Freddie. There's only about 1,700 people or so in solar energy in Minnesota now employed. But what about 10 years from now or 15 years from now when the children that are 16 years old now are entering the workforce? It may be a large part of the careers that are out there. So learning about what's coming on board, learning how to position yourself in the proper education paths for those types of renewable energies and solar energies. And so, yes, it was eye-opening to me. Freddie, there is so much opportunity in the trade unions out there, the building trades. And with all these baby boomers retiring, there's opportunities for men and women to get high-paying jobs with the right type of training. We think of it as just heavy labor, lifting and so forth. There's some great jobs out there for men and women. In fact, my daughter's exploring an opportunity in the limited energy apprentice program. You know, she can earn and learn. All the buildings out there that have that haven't been retrofitted with all the new fiber optics will. All the brand new buildings will need fiber optics for all the voice and data and security. Think about it, Freddie. Those are great opportunities in the trade unions in Minnesota that many times when we talk about the skills gap, Freddie, mm-hmm. that's what they're talking about. There's jobs out there, but people without those skills can't take those roles on. So talking with the AFL-CIO representatives and all these different trade unions, boy, if someone wants to work with their hands, wants to be project-oriented, some of these trade unions carve out some very good careers for people. And we don't know about a lot of those apprenticeships out there. And I think we, as broadcasters, you know, have to do a better job of not talking about the skills gap, but the paths to close that skills gap. In a lot of these apprenticeships that are out there, will do that.
Wow. So how soon do you think some of these new opportunities will take hold? Or will this also be a give and take type of opportunity where the skill sets will present themselves and open up even more ideas for opportunities for full employment?
Oh, we know how fast technology changes, Freddie. Just in those renewable energy careers, and I misspoke, there's 4,200 people employed in the solar industry in Minnesota right now as we speak. But what if it's 40,000 15 years from now? What if a new technology comes on board where it changes some other aspect of renewable energy? I think kids that are entering post-secondary should be eyes wide open to those opportunities to have those careers. What's it going to take for me to be in that, you know, is it going to be engineering? Is it going to be physics? Is it going to be natural resources? It's evolving, but I can tell you many of those building trades opportunities exist today, Freddie. The fiber optics, the technology that's involved in wiring a smart building. I mean, how often do we talk about smart buildings? Well, that's what's being built today. All the medical clinics that are out there all have that type of infrastructure in regards to electrical. Now, that's here today. And when we talk about the high levels of college debt and many of the kids that go into the building trades are earning and learning, they kind of bypass that. But we don't talk about that enough. But I am today, and I know that I've personally taken my daughter to tour that program just to learn what's available to her, to talk to the state training director. I want my children to know of all the options out there. And when we talk about a skills gap and we talk about 10,000 baby boomers leaving the workforce every day in this country, Let's plant some seeds of opportunities out there for them. And that's why I took the time. I spent a half a day at the state fair talking to these different representatives in these different industries.
Well, everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie. He's the founder of Ripple Connects. We're talking about state fair takeaways and the future of work in Minnesota. So what about the baby boomer who's looking for that encore career? How does what you found and the research you did at the state fair impact baby boomers who are looking to not to retire, but they're continuing to move on?
Well, obviously, with technology coming on board, many of us can reinvent ourselves. Many of us could see ourselves in more of an educational or a mentoring role in you know, many of the you know, schools of that are in Minnesota. You know, you think about it. We had a lot of experience in the fields. We become trainers, life coaches, helping people work through, you know, different aspects of their lives. Our experiences become what helps those next generations that are coming up can certainly benefit from the technology of today. We've learned how to work on computers and use social media. You know, we can become self-employed entrepreneurs in helping. So, you know, the boomers, I saw my dad retire in the mid-80s. I didn't see the opportunities that there are today to reinvent yourself. But because of social media, because of technology, boomers can. They become small business owners, entrepreneurs, coaches, trainers, and so forth. And helping that next generation to come back up, because when all generations work together, the society thrives. And that's how I approach it. You know, many of us have children, grandchildren, and we want them to set off on the right foot. But we also want to have that purpose in lives for ourselves as we have our encore careers.
So would you have a final thought on this, Joe? I know you talked about the different trades. You talked about earning while you're learning. And what is your final thought as you take a look at the scope and the landscape of what our country will look like? Maybe you're even talking about infrastructure. You're talking about jobs that we've never even seen before. How do you see it? What do you think?
Don't fear technology taking away jobs. I think a lot of times the media will portray that this job's not going to be here in 20 years. But often what happens is new jobs evolve from those opportunities. So we talk about driverless cars or AI. You know, it's just the new technology brings about new opportunities. And, you know, the State Fair was just eye-opening to me to see the jobs of the future, but also the jobs here today. And sometimes we have to take some unorthodox paths to see what's out there for everybody. I just don't want to say there's a skills gap. I want to talk about how we can fill that. And there are opportunities out there. You know, the service is part of it. The wire, the hands-on, the buildings are going to be needed to be built. Technology is needed to be managed. We haven't even talked about healthcare because, you know, you're still going to need humans to help the baby boomers, you know, move into more their elder years. So certainly don't be afraid of the technologies. Embrace the technologies and how you can leverage that.
All right. That's Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects, connecting you to your best future possible. And our show continues right now.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight? That you can't stop smoking? That you can't get over a fear? That you can't, you can't, you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Please welcome to our microphones an individual who does a lot of things responsibly across our country and around the world. Please welcome Elizabeth Liz Ramlow, who is a midwife with Doctors Without Borders in town for a very special event. Welcome.
Thank you.
You've devoted most of your life to taking care and providing needed medical services to people who live internationally.
Since 2010, I've been working with Doctors Without Borders in now 11 or so countries around the world. As a midwife.
Mm-hmm. You grew up in Wisconsin, La Crosse, Wisconsin. What made you decide to give up the safe confines of the Midwest and go? I knew you moved to the East Coast, but why go internationally and work where you don't have all the sterile conditions that you would need for midwifery?
Yeah, you know, that is a good story. I had a teacher in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grades who was taught us all things history and world problems and political. And he helped us to understand that there were things going on around the world that we needed to become aware of as kids. He made us read the newspaper every day, and he quizzed us on it. And he really influenced me to think that it was important to know what was going on and also to think that I could be helpful to others. I really credit Howard Fredericks with that amazing teaching in my own life. So after a career as a midwife in Massachusetts, I retired to do this. And I did feel like I was coming home to something I had learned in middle school.
Everybody, we're talking with Liz Ramlow. She's a midwife with Doctors Without Borders. For folks who don't know, tell us a little bit about what Doctors Without Borders does.
It's a medical emergency organization. Provides medical care to populations who don't have access to medical care, either because the place where they live is in the midst of war, other types of conflict, natural disasters, refugee and internally displaced people's situations.
So this weekend, our Twin Cities audience will have an opportunity to see what it's like when you go overseas to help people.
Yeah.
And it's called Force from Home. Tell us about that exhibit.
Force from Home is, I call it a hands-on exhibit. It is to some extent a chance for people to move into the world in which displaced people, refugee populations, survive. And I think that's something that can be very difficult for us to see and to understand if we don't have the opportunity to go to Bangladesh or to go to the Mediterranean where people are crossing from Libya. It's hard to understand what the conditions are. So that's the purpose of our exhibit. And we have hour-long tours which walk people through places where people live, how you cross a border, what it's like to be on one of those boats out in the Med.
Wow. So this event is in the Commons by U.S. Bank Stadium, downtown Minneapolis, from the 9th through the 16th of this month. So how will the park itself be converted? What will we see?
Well, you will see a series of tents which offer a variety of opportunities to come to understand the work of Doctors Without Borders and, more importantly, the situation of refugee and displaced peoples. There are tents, for instance, in which people live, 16 people to a tent that you and I would put 3 or 4 in.
Wow.
There is a market where you can see what's available to those people around the world, how they very cleverly, very energetically supply themselves wherever they are, because international aid is often not sufficient.
Wow.
Amazingly resourceful people. So you'll see how, for instance, they take disused solar panels and use them to charge batteries for cell phones, which keep them in touch with their people back home or in networking to try to find solutions to current issues.
Wow. So because people are distressed doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have the intellect in order to take care of themselves.
Not at all. In my view, I have met some of the most intelligent, creative, energetic people in my work. All they want is a chance to settle themselves and their families, and they want to work.
You'll also have on display a video dome. What will that depict?
It's a 360-degree experience of moving through, I think it's 5 or 6 different refugee camp and internally displaced people's camps.
Mm-hmm.
And you, for instance, you could feel yourself riding on a truck right through the big camp in Tanzania.
Wow.
Or sitting in a room with displaced people from Syria talking about their situation.
You call it Tanzania? Is that Tanzania? Is
yeah.
Okay. You have a French background, I believe.
Well, I learned some French in order to work with Doctors Without Borders.
Okay.
Yeah. So many of the countries in which we work are francophone.
Mm-hmm. So there's the video dome. What's a push factor?
Oh, push factors. Very important to understand why people leave their homes. It is almost without exception, it is not because they want to leave their homes, their families, their extended families. It's because they have to. It's because, for instance, in Honduras, there are gangs threatening to enlist their 11-year-old kids and murder their families if the kids are refused. Those families have to make a very, very tough decision. Do we stay and live in this kind of situation where our kids will learn to rob and murder and live a gang life, or do we leave? People who have moved out of areas in Nigeria where Boko Haram threatens entire villages, they find themselves in Libya, where the conditions are beyond despicable.
Hmm.
And they don't have a choice. So a push factor is what makes people leave. Very, very important to understand that, because I think we make an assumption that they want to come to Europe or to the States for a better life. No, that may be what my grandfather did, my great-grandfather did. But
right.
It's not generally what these people are doing. They are pushed out of their own homes.
Everyone, we're talking with Liz Ramlo. She's talking about a big Force from Home exhibit happening September 9th through the 16th on the Commons on the footstep of U.S. Bank Stadium. Who is this for? Who is the event for?
It's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We think that it's maybe more useful for kids age 10 and older.
Mm-hmm.
But it, certainly families are more than welcome. There are no... the whole business of the push factors is, of course, very frightening.
Sure.
But it's not an exhibit that displays violence in any way. It shows the results of violence. And so don't be afraid to bring children. I think it's a very helpful exhibit and for children. And some of the most fun tours I've had have been with kids. They ask great questions, you know. If you're feeding a food supplement that has peanuts in it, what about allergies to peanuts? They're thinking all the time about how things would be for them.
Exactly. A 10,000 square foot area where you can see, you can be in Bangladesh without being there, be in Libya without being there,
yeah.
Honduras without being there.
Yeah.
How has helping people around the world changed you, Liz?
I think it has made me grateful.
Grateful?
Yeah.
Okay.
People around the world don't want us in our country to not have what we have. But they would like to have something of that for themselves. They'd like to have schools for
mm-hmm.
their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They'd like to be able to have food every day. And they can't always. So when I come home, I just feel grateful. And I think that gratitude is what allows us to have what we have.
Wow. Liz, I can't thank you enough. Do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience this morning and folks who are listening around the world to you share with us today?
Yeah, I hope that everyone will come out to Force from Home. We open on Sunday and we're open every day, basically between 9 in the morning and 8 in the evening until the 16th, the following Sunday. So come on out and we'd love to meet you. We'd love to talk with you. There are guides from all over the world and from all of our different types of projects who would love to meet you and share what we've seen.
Well, it sounds like it's an incredible event, and I believe it's no cost?
No cost. Absolutely no cost. No.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Liz, I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning and sharing a portion of your life and also this exhibit so people can see firsthand what you've seen as you travel the world.
Yeah. Thank you.
Forced from Home is the name of the event through next Sunday, the 16th. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And our show continues right now.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You are listening to New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell. And I wanted to amplify on job hunting because it is definitely a two-way street. While you're researching potential employers and learning all you can about hiring managers and who'll be interviewing you, they're checking you out, too. And according to CareerBuilder's 2016 social media recruitment survey, 60% of employers use social networking sites to research job candidates. That's up from 11% a decade ago when the survey was first conducted. More than 2 in 5 employers say they were less likely to interview job candidates if they were not able to find information about that person online. And nearly half of the hiring managers who screen candidates via social media networks say they found information that caused them not to hire a person, according to the CareerBuilder survey. Invisibility indicates that you're not up to speed with technology and the online world. And digital dirt, well, that can really give the wrong impression. The biggest turnoffs that CareerBuilder cited were inappropriate photographs or videos, signs that the candidate is binge drinking or using drugs, bigoted comments related to race, religion, or gender, bad mouthing of previous employers or fellow employees, and poor communication skills. So here's the thing. Know your digital identity. Chances are your digital identity is pretty complex. Some of it you create. At a minimum, you should have pages on LinkedIn and Facebook. Some of it is created by your friends when they post comments or photos that you're in. And some of it is created by total strangers, the staff at schools you've attended, the DMV, former workplaces, the local newspaper, and so on. Your first task is to know what's out there. So do what employers do when they begin researching you online. Conduct a basic search of your name and its variations, such as with or without your middle name or initial. Now, if your name is not unusual, you may get mainly material about other people who share it. So be creative in drilling down to material about yourself. Try your name plus your school or hometown or even your last employer. Now, when you've narrowed things down, click on the top 10 to 20 links. Read it carefully. You're looking at what a prospective employer might see. Now, some of the other people who popped up during your search may seem to an employer to be you, even though they're not. Pay attention to avoid mistaken online identity. Your reputation in job search can be damaged by that person. Now, in an extreme case, someone with your name, say, was convicted of fraud in your town last month, you may want to be proactive and inform a potential employer that you're not this person. But still, if you're troubled, think about creating a clean, professional name for your social media sites. It might be John Hannon, John W. Hannon, or John William Hannon. You do this by searching variations of your own name until you find one without anything negative associated with it. Then claim it on LinkedIn and other social media sites. Use it going forward on your resume, email address, and job applications. The next thing you want to do is scrub your social media. Look over everything on your social media timelines and remove any dirt that you wouldn't want employers or recruiters to see. If you can't delete it yourself, contact the site manager and request that it be removed. Check out Facebook posts that you've been tagged in or that you've tagged yourself, and untag yourself if the post contains any content, including photos, that's unprofessional. And then on Twitter, you can review mentions on your profile name and discover tweets by others that mention you. If you can't remove any uncomplimentary comments or photos, you can at least prepare a response that a potential employer might want to hear from you that would explain that negative information. And just because you're being vigilant with what you put online about yourself doesn't mean your friends are. Keep an eye on what others are posting on your profile and what you're tagged in. Consider asking for cooperation from people who are serial offenders in terms of putting up offensive stuff. Create a free Google alert for your name so that you'll be notified via email whenever anything is posted about you or someone with your name online. It's important, too, to fine-tune your privacy. Though you want to be visible online to a potential employer, every social media and networking channel has privacy settings that allow you to restrict how visible you are. In some cases, you can limit what other people share about you. With most services, you click on an icon in the upper right corner of an opening screen for a menu that includes a privacy setting option. Social media sites change their privacy systems often, and sometimes this leads to a change in your personal setting. So it's good practice to review the privacy settings for all of your accounts on a regular basis. And then also be active. Make a point of posting comments or articles, retweeting or sharing your social media sites daily to keep them current and relevant. This shows that you're up to speed with your industry and connected with leaders in your field. And also be certain, though, that the content that you're sharing or even clicking like on supports the image that you want to deliver to a potential employer. Never share something without reading it carefully first. And then adding fresh content regularly has a secondary payoff. It helps assure that when someone searches for you by name, the top of the search results page will include links to content that you've already posted. And although you need to be careful about what you post, you don't want to be so reined in that prospective employers can't find a playful or even a creative side to you. Hiring managers look for a proper professional image, of course, but they also want to get a bead on what makes you run and your level of comfort and engagement on social media channels. Calculated posts on your accounts at Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, Twitter, and even Pinterest can craft a richer picture of who you are. About a third of employers who screen candidates via social media networks find information that caused them to hire a candidate, according to LinkedIn, and this included content that showed personality and interest, confirming the person was a good fit for their company culture. It might be an article by a New York Times sports writer, or it could be something about knitting or sewing. Taken together, all these posts can help people understand who you are and then decide whether or not you're a good fit for their company culture. It might also give a hiring manager an icebreaker for interviews. Lastly, you want to tout your accomplishments. Bragging online is not in poor taste if it's properly presented. For example, there's a place on your LinkedIn profile to add all those sweet bits of information from professional acknowledgments to awards. All this can help you to present the best you and make sure that you're taking care of your digital presence. I'm Freddie Bell. This is New Beginnings, and we have more coming up right after this.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities, and it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman!
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
This is New Beginnings. Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. And with me right now is Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis. She is the founder. How long ago did you found West Metro Hypnosis, Kelly?
I've been in practice for 4 years now, Freddie.
Well, time really flies, doesn't it?
It does. It sure does.
Wow. And you really help a lot of people. And for folks who like to get more information about the fine work you do, can you give us some information on how we can reach you?
952-222-3975 or westmetrohypnosis.com.
All right. A lot of students are going back to school this month, Kelly. We've already given two ideas on how to help parents and students navigate. This is part three of that series, Back to School. And how are we navigating this week?
Well, again, these are all based on the principles of improv that I practice on a regular basis. And improv, if you think about it, life really does mirror improv perfectly. And when we can get into a space where we can start to have fun with some of this stuff, our load becomes a little bit lighter. And so another one of the strategies that I like to teach people about, and this is a tough one. It's called radical acceptance. And I know that I've spoken about this before on your program, but radical acceptance in improv means that you, whatever suggestion you've been given, whatever your partner is doing in the scene, it is my job to simply accept that. I can't negate it. I can't change it. It is my job to accept it and work with that. And that is such a great life skill, because so much of the time we're always pushing things away, especially teenagers and young adults are like, I don't want this thing. I want it to go away. I want this assignment to go away. I want this teacher that I hate to go away. I want all of this stuff to go away. And when we can walk into a space of radically accepting what is, that's when we regain our power. Radical acceptance doesn't mean that we lay down on the floor like a doormat and don't do anything. Radical acceptance means that it now has allowed me to see where I am. I now have a starting point. I have a clear vision of where I need to move from. It allows all conflict to immediately dissolve, because I'm no longer fighting against anything. I'm surrendering into the fact of this is actually what is. This is what I have to work with. And then it becomes my choice how I move forward, how I want to proactively interact in the process of moving forward. And unless we proactively decide to radically accept something and move forward with it, then that conflict is going to stay there. And we're just going to keep feeling like we're box fighting it the entire time. So again, radical acceptance doesn't mean that things stay the way they are. It just gives us a clear starting point of where we want to move from and where we are going to.
So how do you make sure that, is there a critical step with radical acceptance that we all need to take if we want to do this effectively?
Well, it's a lot of it has to do with how you feel in your body. If you think about having conflict with something, your body's tight, it's rigid, you're unwilling to move forward, everything seems small, tight, clamped down. And when you move into a place of surrender, you know, it's really like you're putting your dukes down and you're just throwing your hands up and you're saying, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done fighting. I'm done with the conflict. And now let me see things clearly and decide what action I want to take to move forward.
All right. That's Kelly Von Hanekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight? That you can't stop smoking? That you can't get over a fear? That you can't, you can't, you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, wake up to your success.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Do you ever get that thought that says, if I could just get myself out of the way, everything would be all right? That feeling suggests an inner turmoil. But through focusing on peace and calm, you can turn things around. It's a little known secret. Instead of self-defeating statements and feelings, if we can just remember that even though we feel we may have fallen short, we always have a second chance to do our best. If you make a mistake, take a misstep, or flounder, that's all it is. It's not the real you. Just relax and know that you have the power to focus on the task at hand and begin again. As you practice this technique, you'll find yourself getting better and better day by day. If you'd like to learn more, I'd welcome the chance to speak to your organization. To learn how, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister, and they invite you to their two Sunday morning services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m., as well as to their numerous weekly activities and classes. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Today, I hope we will find another fascination. Whenever we experience difficulties in this human life, Unity teaches that we must start at the beginning. In other words, rather than focusing on the circumstances that disturb us, we set our attention on the essence of our life as a creation of God. In truth, we know that God creates only good. Therefore, the perfect and whole nature of our life, in essence, is good. From the standpoint of our very existence, we can align our thoughts, feelings, and actions to be in harmony with the central truth of our nature. In time, our human experiences become ever more perfect expressions of our spiritual reality as God's wonder-filled creation. This is why our Unity teachings about life began with a so-called statement of being by Charles Fillmore in his first book, Christian Healing. It was his attempt in 1909 to give the first formal outline of Unity teachings. He was inspired by a similar work of Emily Cady, known as Lessons of Truth, that began with a statement of being. And they were both inspired by the teacher of teachers, Emma Curtis Hopkins, who taught thousands from her seminary in Chicago, including the Fillmores, Cady, and later Ernest Holmes. In Europe, at this same time, Rudolf Steiner was teaching a detailed account of the design of the human being by creative forces of the universe. And we've now formed a study group meeting on Mondays here to study Steiner's concept or story of our life. Of course, we can go back very far in human history to see this idea unfold. Unity considers the Bible in its most essential truth to be an account of the evolving consciousness of humanity as God's creation. In the Hebrew Scriptures, we have the account of Moses daring before the burning bush to ask God his or her name, which was considered in that culture the same as asking God, what is the nature of your existence? The divine reply came forth. Eya asher eya. Eya asher eya. Which can be interpreted as, I am that I am. I am who I am. I am what I will be. Existence itself. Professor Christine Hayes of Yale states, this is the Bible's explanation for the name of Yahweh as the personal name of God. Some have argued that the name Yahweh expresses the quality of being, an active, dynamic, creative being. And so, as the creation story of the book of Genesis describes the human being as being created in the image and likeness of the Elohim, or the gods, then we must realize that we are active, dynamic, creative beings. Now we can live our lives from without or from within. When we live from without, that is, defining who we are by the outer experiences of our life, the circumstances of our life, then by that definition, we become no more than our circumstances, our story so far. If we live from within, that is, defining who we are by the essential truth that we have come from God, our source of life, then we are more than our circumstances, more than our story. In nature, we are unending, limitless, filled with possibility. Unity teaches that the I am is our divine name. Or, as I'm suggesting in our lesson today, we may say, I exist. I exist as an essential part of God's creation. We associate ourselves with limitless life, not with limited circumstances. This is but a beginning. And it can be a great mistake for any student or seeker of truth to be lost in the infinite idea, which, if untethered or ungrounded, can be what Rudolf Steiner called in German, cloud cuckoo land. And we never demonstrate these ideals of truth in our daily living. A great statement, perhaps a little more poetic, was given by Henry David Thoreau. If you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That is where they should be. Now, put foundations under them on earth. And so these high ideals are for our inspiration, for our power, but we must give them expression in our daily living. In the next 2 weeks, we will evolve this idea further of how we give outer expression in the world to these inner ideals that we hold. We must demonstrate the truth we inwardly know through our daily life. Many of you know it's even printed on the back of our bulletin every Sunday. But the five basic principles or tenets of unity, which end with the fifth one, which is so important to understand that it's not enough to inwardly know or meditate upon truth. Yes, that empowers us, that heals us, that restores us, that inspires us. But that fifth step, we must walk the truth we know.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. For Joe McKenzie, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. We'll see you next week and online. Goodbye, everybody.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering.
Where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.